We're going through Galatians. We just started Galatians last week. And so the way it works at Trinity is we go through books of the Bible. And so we just take it verse by verse as it comes. And so we started the last series, which is beginning of Galatians. And the key is we called this series The Good News We Almost Forgot. And so Paul is astonished that he received this gospel. It changed his life. He used to be a killer of Christians, and then he became a preacher of the gospel to churches. He would sail around the world and establish churches. He'd go and start preaching in synagogue and telling people about Jesus, and they'd become Christians, and then they would set up a church there. And so he's writing a letter back to a church he's already started and visited and spent time with in Galatia. And so he's telling them about, hey, I can't believe I've heard that y'all are leaving that gospel that transformed me and that transformed you, and you're turning to these other gospels that these other people are telling you about, and it's not the true gospel at all. And so that's the issue, is what is the true gospel? That's what we talked about last week. We looked at two counterfeit gospels. And just for recap, let's talk about what that is. You know, so two fake gospels. The first one is that I need to believe in Jesus, and then I need to do something. I need to add to what Jesus done, because it sounds too good to be true. So think about it. If you're thinking about it in football terms, you know, Jesus runs the ball 99 yards down the way, and then I need to grab the ball and fall over. I'll follow the goal line to score. And you know, we know about in football, the guy who scores a touchdown gets the glory. So I end up getting the glory because I finish it. You know, I have to do something. It just can't just be, I receive this as a gift. I've got to do something. That's the idea of the false gospel number one. False gospel number two is that this gospel really doesn't mean anything to your life outside of your religious life. That you can just go and do anything you want outside of it. So we call those two things legalism first, the first error, which is I've got to do something in order to be saved in addition to Jesus. Legalism is not following rules, but it's following rules in order to be accepted. That's the idea. Two is licentiousness or antinomianism, which is I'm lawless in my following of Jesus. And so neither one of those are true. Those are false gospels. And so the true gospel is that it's good news. What he was proclaiming to us is not good rules, but good news. News. You know, like we didn't do anything to win the games yesterday that we were caring about, but those things happened. And so we're excited about those things. That happened. So, and as far as it relates to God, the gospel is good news in that Jesus was born, lived, died, and resurrected. He died for my sins and was resurrected for my justification. And I heard about that when God gave me ears to hear it, and it transformed me. It changed my present life or current life to my former life and gives me a new life, a life in Jesus. That's the gospel. Okay? That's a review. I hope that's helpful to you as we dig into this. Now, the next concern here is that Paul makes it clear where this came from. And what he's going to further just hammer away on what the gospel is. And he's going to say, by what authority did it come from? That's the first thing he wants to let us know. There's a show on Netflix now called Baby Boss. You ever seen that one, Baby Boss? Isn't that right? Oh, Boss Baby. I'm sorry. I'm dyslexic here. Boss Baby. Yeah, it's a movie. Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm getting it all wrong. But Boss Baby. And so why is that silly? Why is that funny? Why would we even tune into that one? Well, because we know babies aren't bosses, okay? There's no little babies running around who are running things, right? We know that's true. Well, not so fast, okay? Those of you who are parents in here, hey, and I was this way when I was a kid. When my parents tried to make me eat things, I have very few vivid memories from being a small child, but one is my parents made me sit all night in front of a spaghetti plate because I refused to eat my spaghetti. Do y'all have any memories like that? Where you learn, hey, I've got to eat what my parents tell me to eat, or they might make me sit all night and eat it in front of it, or they might warm it up the next day for me. You know, that's another trick. You know, because it's not, okay, so when you know, Knox and Owen and Grace and Lily were two, we all had that kind of struggle with them. You know, like, we'd try to give them green peas, you know, baby food, and they would either, you know, throw it at us or throw it on the floor or just scream at us Or they'd spit it out, you know, and it's not like they had Googled, hey, what does a baby, what does a two-year-old need, and then had some alternative nutrition solutions for us that they'd present to us, a case of why this is not the best, green peas are not the best thing. What was going on is in their hearts, they were saying, hey, mom and dad, I have a wonderful plan for your life, and it's that I am in charge, you know? That's exactly what was going on. They wanted to be in charge. It's not something they had to learn. It's just something that was in there. They needed to be in charge. I want to determine what to wear, what to eat, when to be home, what I'm doing, okay, where to clean my room, when and where to do it, where things go. And, you know, we all know that struggle. The challenge is we all want to be the boss. We're determined to be in charge. It's a heart issue, right? You know, and so those of you who are married, newly married, in the first year here, or you know, you've been in it 50 years. Some of us are there. You know, you just start dissing your husband or wife sometimes. You're like, how is this possible? Well, it's just this bad heart. We got this bad heart. You know, we got this thing in us. Think about when you're an athlete. You start thinking about how you can cut corners. If you're running laps around the football field, you might cut a little bit. You know, you might, how can I cut corners? You think about it at work. You're just mistrusting your boss, mistrusting your company. If you're a student, you think about undermining your profs. Hey, you don't. I don't really need to read all that, do I? You know, I'm just going to not read that. I'm going to, you know, take some other. So there's a million ways in which our hearts are absolutely wrong and they want to be the boss. They want to be in charge, determine our outcome. Okay? We have a passion to rebel against others, authorities, and against God, and we're addicted to self-rule. And we can't change ourselves. We are what we are, and we cannot change that. Even if we're in Christ, there's still this self thing going on, this rule in us. This is true, and it will always be true of us until we get to the new heaven and new earth. There's a connection we have because of our connection to Adam and the curse that's in us. Okay, we can't change that about us, and we can't change the guilt that incurs about us. We're not just good people who lie occasionally, or who steal, or diss our husband or wife or friends. No, we are liars and thieves. Proud, arrogant. You know, we're that person. So the good news, though, is that through the power of the gospel, through the power of Jesus, our current life, what we are, what we've been doing, what we've had, our record, our current life can become our former life. It's no longer us. It's no longer ours anymore. It's gone. It's crucified with Christ, and I'm now new. I have a new life, and the former life is gone. That's the good news. Jesus has that power. Okay, so we're going to read this. Paul's going to illustrate how he is an example of this very fact, right here, as he's continuing to explain the gospel. Look at verse 11. Look at verse 11. Follow along with me. It says, "For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers, but when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. And after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas," or Peter, "and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. In what I'm writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only were hearing it said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy, and they glorified God because of me. Grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. May he write its eternal truths upon our hearts this morning. Amen. So, this gospel is the true gospel. It is the power of Jesus to transform, first point, our current life into our former life. What is this former life? And so a lot of what we've heard here that I just read is biographical. He says, you heard of my former life in verse 13. And it was not pretty. If you look at Acts 7, it's the first time you see Saul or Paul. His first name was Saul, and then it became Paul. Took on another name. The first time you see him, he is standing at the execution of Stephen the deacon. And he is approving of this. He's saying, yeah, get him, smash him, kill him. Because this is a Christian, and we don't allow Christians around here in Jerusalem. We don't do that. No, he was going around the world killing people who believed in Jesus. This was his former life. He was a murderer. He wasn't just, you know, saying he didn't like Christianity. He was actually literally killing people and approving of those who did. Okay, that is a pretty extreme past. He's a man with a past. Paul has a former life. Think about that. If you want to read more about that, go to Acts 9. That's where the next time you see him, he was approving of the death of Stephen, and then he's gotten some legal papers to go to Damascus and have some more Christians rounded up and slaughtered in Damascus. That's where he's going. He's on his horse on the way, and then all of a sudden, sky opens up, he hears a voice, there's a light, he gets knocked off his horse, falls on the ground, and is blind, and hears Jesus audibly speaking to him. He receives revelation from Jesus Christ's lips as to the reality of the gospel. He's told to go to Damascus, and then God appoints a man there named Ananias to go and restore his sight, and that's where the story picks up. He talks about his journey to get to where he was. He didn't receive this gospel from people like he's accused of, but he received it from Jesus, just like those who were walking around with Jesus, like Peter and James and John received it. He had this crazy past. He was the biggest hater of Christians, but now he's become, as it says in verse 24, an advocate, a proclaimer of the gospel. That's his past. What's your former life? Don't we all have a former life? Something maybe we're less proud of, or you know, I was watching a documentary this week called The Nature Boy. 30 for 30 on ESPN. I'll tell you guys, I know some of y'all might know my story, but and some of you who are in your 20s might find this to be inconceivable. Some of you in your 70s here might find this to be inconceivable, but hey, when I was 20, I loved pro wrestling, and I would find every way in the world on Monday night to watch pro wrestling every week. That was my former life. So when I was out of college, I was a young, struggling youth minister, and I couldn't afford cable, and so pro wrestling was always on cable, so I found a nice young lady in Knoxville, Meredith Glover at the time, and was able to convince her to let me come over and watch pro wrestling on her television, to use her cable, because I couldn't afford my own. So I go over and watch this unashamedly, watching pro wrestling at this young lady's house. You know, and that, you know, I think like, how could someone do that? You know, and that's a great question. I tell you, that's my former life. I got to be honest with you, I really don't have much to do with wrestling anymore in my life. That's very much in the past. Somewhere along the way, the light came down and I was blinded by the light, and now I don't ever have anything to do with pro wrestling anymore. Former life. Present life is different. Okay? You know, And so you might self-righteously look at me and be like, man, that guy is an idiot for liking pro wrestling. You know, and then you might be, you know, and I might judge you for liking things that you like, or but being totally unaware of my own sin or my own hypocrisy. That's the way it is. This guy
Paul was religious in his zeal towards people, or towards the traditions of men, as it says. Traditions of men. But he, in that zeal, religiously justified killing people. Isn't that crazy? You know, he in his zeal over his passion or for the laws, he became lawless. That's ugly. But the good news is he says, you know, he's the least likely person to believe this because he was out killing people. And then all of a sudden, he heard the gospel. It was received by him directly from Jesus Christ. It didn't come from man. Just like nobody's able to convince any of us that this is true. The gospel comes from Jesus Christ. But at the right time, he gives us the gospel. So how in the world did this happen? How do you move from this present life? How does it become a former life? And you become wrapped up in Jesus as Paul has become. Well, second point here is that the true gospel rests in God's predestined pleasure in revealing Jesus to you. If you look at it, it says, I was advancing in verse 14 beyond many of my own age among my people and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. Verse 15, but when God who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace was pleased to reveal a son to me, his son in me, so that I might preach among the Gentiles. So do you see that? Before he was born, God was pleased to reveal the son to him, Jesus to him. Predestination was everything for him. That God had this patient, perfect plan that was intentional, laid out before Paul was even born, for him to believe in this gospel, for the gospel to be revealed to him, and then his current life would become his former life. And so I'm sure all those people like Stephen and the others who were killed by Paul would be like, hey, let's get this going quicker. You know, come on, God, let's I wish you would have written it differently because I'm getting killed by this guy here. But no, it was about God's perfect plan to make Paul into what he is from what he wasn't, to make him into what he wasn't from what he was, for the sake of the gospel and to proclaim the gospel just the right time. And that's the way it is for all of us. The news hits us. The news that we previously had nothing to do with, we'd stiff-armed it, the news hits us and it changes us. It's power to transform us in a moment. The gospel offer is out there for any of us to walk out different than when we entered. For our current life to become our former life. And our new life to be Christ-like. That's the gospel. Okay? That God had it in us to reveal his son to us before we were even born is the good news. That is a lot wrapped up in that. But that's very simple. The only reason any of us today believe in this gospel is because God planned it before we were ever born. Otherwise, we'd be just as bad as Paul, just as anti-gospel as he was. That's where it comes from, though. That's where it goes. That's where it came from, in my experience, way before I even existed. God had it for me. Okay, next thing is, third point, final point, is that the true gospel comes from no man, but is from every man. Okay, he keeps going on and on about how I didn't receive it from any man. No man taught me this. I didn't consult with anyone there when he was there, verse 16. And I might preach it. Okay, I only spent a little bit of time with these guys. I didn't see any of the apostles, hardly at all. And what I got was directly from Jesus. So the gospel comes from no man. In fact, if we would have written the gospel, it would have been a lot different. You know, think about fantasy football. You know, like football. You know, like, so does anyone play this game, fantasy football? Like, so you get touchdowns. Your players get touchdowns. You don't get any, but you get credit for it. You know, so you pick players, and you put faith in these players, and what they do determines your destiny. So you think about like how the gospel works. It's a gift from God. It's passive. As far as we're concerned, we're passive in it. How it works is, Jesus doesn't run the ball down the field, like I said earlier, and we grab the ball at the end and run over the goal line. We don't add anything to it. What we get is all from God. It's from no man. just the same way with where it comes from. It's from God. We're not in the stadium and we just kind of do whatever, we put on whatever jersey we want and we get credit. No, we have to be on the team. We have to be supporting Jesus. We have to be embracing Him, receiving the gift. The way it works is Jesus wins the game. Jesus scores and He gives us the game ball. That's more like it. That's the gospel. Is we get the benefit from doing absolutely nothing. He does it for us. Same with how we receive it. It's from no man. It's from no man. It's from, you know, how did Paul get it? He got it directly from Jesus. How do we get it? Well, we get it from Jesus, apostles, and prophets. We get the gospel from the Bible. That's how we get it. We don't get it from a feeling, anything we work up on our own, any separate revelations from God. We get it from the Scriptures, where Paul got it. Jesus, apostles, prophets. The Bible is our place. It's the Bible's gospel. There's no other gospel. It's from the Bible. It's not what we like. It's only from Him. It's from no man. So there's a difference there. For Paul, he was receiving it for the first time. We're receiving it based on the foundation that he's laid for us. This deposit, this apostolic prophetic deposit in the words of Scripture. That's where we get it from. And so I'm judged every week on what I say. Okay, that's scary. You know, with what I say is not consistent with the Bible, then I am in trouble. Basically, I'm judged. I need to be, anything you hear from me, test it with the Bible. And that's that, what I ought to be saying ought to be derivative of the Bible. The Bible is where the gospel comes from, not from my own, you know, plan for you to change your life. It's the gospel. God changes the lives here through the gospel in the Bible. Okay, not from men, but from God. Secondly, is that this true gospel is from no man, but it's for every man. Okay, it's for every man. You know, Paul was the biggest Jewiest. You know, he was like the Jew of Jews, according to the tribe of Judah. Benjamite, as far as the law, he was blameless, he called himself in Philippians 3. It says he was zealous for the traditions of the fathers in verse 14 here. He had all the background in Judaism. You would think, where's God going to send him? Probably Jerusalem. No, God sends him to the people who know nothing about the law, nothing about the covenant. He sends him to the nations, the Gentiles, the pagans, okay, all the outsiders. And essentially, He doesn't need our expertise. He sends us where He sends us, to whoever He sends us to, because the gospel is for every man. So when you're at your kids' soccer games, you're there not actually to watch soccer, but you're there to befriend other people. You're there to have another opportunity to build a relationship with somebody. When you take your kid to dance class, at premier dance, wherever you go, you're there to sit in that lobby for 45 minutes while your daughter dances. And just be there next to that dad or mother and say, hey, how's life? Build a relationship for the sake of the gospel. You're there to be a friend. You're there in your neighborhood. You're there at your job to build relationships. You're going on field trips to be a gospel ambassador, a messenger, to share how Jesus changed your current life into your former life. That's the gospel, the power of Jesus. He's calling you and me to witness to the gospel power. It might kill you, because just like Paul, these people were not ready to hear this. And they often whipped him, destroyed him, beat him up, beat him within an inch of his life. He was ultimately killed. People hated him. Even the people he used to identify with now hate him because his life changed. He unidentified with everything he used to believe. And those guys are after him. So both the people he's trying to tell about the gospel sometimes, and then the people who he used to be affiliated with, hated him and tried to kill him. But there was more joy for him in sharing that gospel than in being approved of by any people. He was an ambassador. He had this hard calling. And that is the power of God, isn't it? To be not defined by where we are now, but defined by what Jesus has done for us. And so here I am now. I used to be this Pharisee of Pharisees, and now I am this guy who's been set free by the gospel. And so the offer is on the table, the gospel offer is on the table for us to walk out of here saying, I used to be this, and now I'm this. I used to be defined by going here or this addiction. I'm not anymore. But I'm defined by all these sins anymore that I've committed, that I'm guilty, I feel guilty of. I'm not defined by those things anymore. That's my former life. Those things are not mine anymore. Jesus took them all. They're not mine. Former life. If we miss any word in here, we cannot miss former. Let me tell you about my former life. Not to boast about it. We can go eat burgers and talk about our former lives to give glory to God. That's exactly what they did. They said, this is the one who used to persecute the church, and now he's proclaiming the gospel. God's done it. We're all trophies of his grace. You might say, well, you know, I can't believe it. I'm only here like 3 times a year. Or I only listen 3 times a year in church. I can't believe I'm listening today. Okay, so sure, you're sure God's calling me to this? I'm like, yes, absolutely he's calling you to this. He's got your attention today, so you can get out of here thinking, oh, all of my sins are former through Christ, and my current life is wrapped up in him. You're here. He's speaking to you today. He's calling you today because he has appointed you from before you were born to be his. And he's revealed the gospel to you today through the Bible because that's what he does. It's from him and it's for you, so your current life can become your former life. He's moving you to become an ambassador for him because his glory is the point of why we're made. We're made to reflect his glory. You might say, well, I've grew up in this and now I'm... Now you're going to tell me, I haven't understood it till today. Now I believe that now that I'm hearing this gospel, are you telling me I need to say, hey, I'm a Christian now, even though I've kind of been a leader in the church or I've grown up in it and now I'm getting it? Wouldn't that make me look like a tool shed? Because I'm like, I feel like I want to come to it before this. You know, like you're saying, I am saying yes. I'm saying you need to tell people, hey, I used to not even understand it. Now I get it. This is my former life. My current life has become my former life. I'm forgiven in Christ, not by anything I've done, not by all my activities, my religious activities. You know, maybe you're a religious murderer. Not many of us today probably like that, like Paul. We all have a past. We all have a past. Whatever it is for you, that past is for the glory of God to say, that's former, that current life I have now is former. My current life is in Jesus. So the gospel offers on the table today. Your present can become your past through the power of Jesus. That is the good news. Let's go and proclaim that good news as we walk with him this weekend or this week.